Hello. Good morning. So this is Freedom Sunday. A lot of things go through our mind when we say freedom. This country is freedom crazy, should I say? Everywhere you look. It's kind of what Chains Unchained is about too. I mean, it's what it's all about, is freedom. But today I want to look at the world's freedom, and then God's freedom. Because see, I think sometimes we get through, if you put freedom behind something, it makes it okay. Right? We're free to do this. We have freedom to do this. This country gives me the freedom to do this. And sometimes I think we focus more on self when it comes to freedom than we do on what God says freedom is. It's kind of like the word love. It's been used so much for so many things that it loses power. And so today I just want to take a moment and I want to look at freedom. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to talk for just a minute before we actually get into the scripture. We'll be in Luke chapter 4. And we find Jesus, the story picks up, and Jesus is out in the wilderness, and he's being tempted for 40 days. And, you know, you can read something, especially like for me, I mean, I've been reading God's Word for decades now, and every now and then, something will pop out at me, and I'm like, I've read it 100 times, but it just never sank in that way. And while Jesus is there being tempted for 40 days, he's fasting. He's not eating anything. And it says, you know, we always look at the temptation of Jesus as being that last part of it. But it says that through the 40 days of fasting, the devil was tempting him during that time. So we find Jesus sitting out in the desert, out in the wilderness, for 40 days. He's had nothing to eat. The whole time he's out there, he's being tempted by the devil. And at the end of the 40 days, The devil kicks up the pressure, right? This is where we usually pick up the persecution factor, the temptation factor. But the devil kicks it up and he offers Jesus 3 things. He offers Jesus provision, power, and what I'm just going to call invincibility, because I couldn't think of another good word for it. So he offers him provision, power, and invincibility. And here's the thing, if you really think about it and you boil our culture down today, that's what we think freedom is. That's what we think freedom is. We constitute these things as freedom. If we have enough food to live well and survive, if we have enough control over our lives and destinies where we feel like we're in charge, and if we have the power to pick ourselves up and the ability to pick ourselves up when we stumble, then we are free people. Because we look around this world and the places where we say they don't have freedom, they don't have these things. They don't have access to the food like we do. They don't have access to doing their own thing like we do. And definitely if they're pushed down, they don't have the ability to come back. So we, all these things is kind of the base of what we're talking about, of what we consider freedom. We have liberty and we are free. But see, as soon as this temptation of Jesus ends, he starts traveling around and he's talking about his mission. He goes from synagogue to synagogue, it says, and he travels around and he'll pick up the scrolls, he'll walk over, they'll hand him the scrolls, and he'll read something, and then he'll start talking about it. And that was just the way, not just Jesus did it, that's just the way they taught back in the Old Testament. If you were traveling, you could go to the synagogue, you could do the same thing, if you were Jewish. If you weren't, you'd be sitting out front. But that's what he was doing, and it says that people were loving what he was saying. They were like, there were so many amen. Well, they probably weren't amening, but there were so many amens in that building, and people were loving it, and they were going out and telling people about it, and Jesus was starting to build a little bit of a name in the area, right? So he's doing all this, and then when you drop down in chapter 4, Jesus goes back home. Jesus goes back home. Goes back to the area where he grew up, where everybody knows him. Everybody, I mean, he's Jesus. That's the carpenter's son. We know him. His family had a pretty good reputation, you would think, although it doesn't talk about it. You would think his family had a good reputation in that area. I mean, they were raising the Son of God. So you don't want to step too far out of line when you got that going on for you. So his family had respect. And just like he always did, Jesus gets there and he goes to the synagogue. And the Bible, the chapter 4 picks it up and it says, they handed Jesus the scrolls. And that's where we're going to be in Luke 4. We're going to start in verse 16. And I'm going to read, I think, about 5 verses. And verses will be up on the board. If you've got your version, follow along, or the one I'm reading at is the New King James. Starting in verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let's pray. God, open this up to us today. God, open up freedom. Open up liberty to us today. Let us see what you're talking about here. God, help us to push away our concepts of freedom for just a moment. And God, help us to hear your Spirit as it speaks to us about the true freedom, the only true freedom. God, just help us hear from you today in your name. Amen. So freedom, like I said before, very overused word. But it's very important. We need to understand, see, we've been dealing with issues of freedom ever since the Garden of Eden. Ever since Adam and Eve made a choice. See, you can't have real freedom unless you have a choice, right? If not, you're a slave one way or another. You have to have a choice. People always say, why didn't God just do away with the tree? Because see, that would have solved everything, right? Yeah, sure. No, we just found another way to mess it up. See, God said one thing. Don't do that one thing. But we have freedom. Thank you, freedom, for freedom, God. And we also need to understand that, see, the devil didn't trick them. The devil tempted them. He took something that was already inside of them, a desire for freedom, which they already had. And he said, wait a minute, are you sure that's freedom? Because if you can't do that, I don't think that's freedom. And they said, well, you're right, we're free. I could do that. God put it there for a reason. I must be okay for me to mess with it. And they gave in. They traded freedom for their idea of freedom. They traded biblical freedom, walking in the garden with God, because of a desire and a false sense of we have freedom, we can do that. The devil didn't trick them. He appealed to the desire that was already in their heart. See, because we were created with freedom. We were deeply ingrained with the idea that we are free. In God is freedom. And if we're created in His image, we have that inside of us. The thing is, we mess up everything God gives us. We twist it. We just do all kinds, and it winds up looking nothing like God intended it to be in the first place. And so we get it all jacked up. The devil exploits it just enough so the focus shifts from the creator of freedom to the creation. We shift it back to us. And that's where we mess it up. That's where we get it all messed up. Freedom is not the ability to live your life the way you want to. That's not freedom. Freedom, and get this, I love freedom. I love the rights and privileges this country gives me. I love the fact that people have given their lives. I wish they didn't have to. But I love the fact people have given their lives, and that's why we honor people who have fought for this country. But that's not freedom. The ability to choose how I want to live my life is not really freedom, because think about this. How many people are in this country? If everyone decided to live their life the way they wanted to, and that was all that mattered, it'd be way more chaotic than it is right now. So that's not freedom. That's not freedom. It's not the right to be free from persecution. Hate to say it, you don't have that right. Now, this country does tell us that they do try to avoid some of that, but we don't have that right. In fact, Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate you way worse. You think hanging on a cross is bad? Wait till you have to live tomorrow. Freedom can't be enforced by rules. There are no regulations that can control freedom. There are no groups or government that can legislate freedom. They can legislate opportunities for you to choose to follow and to provide punishment if you don't follow laws. But that's not freedom. That's confinement. Why do you think you couldn't do what the Old Testament? The Old Testament was full of laws. Jesus had to fulfill them and then give us a new way. Because freedom cannot be found in laws and legislations. Anything besides obedience to God is bondage to something else. Got it? Anything besides obedience to God is bondage to something else. The song Chainbreaker. See, I love the two songs at the end. Amazing Grace. That's that. You're freed the moment you accept Christ. That amazing grace sets you free. It breaks every single bond that you have. At that moment, you're free. See, the problem is, we get up from the altar. That's the problem. We get up from the altar and we walk out these doors and we start reattaching chains. And so the song Chainbreaker is that ongoing walk. What are your chains? See, everybody says, oh, I have no chains, because we think of chains as things like addiction and adult, I mean, all these big. But you know what? Chains are little things too. And little chains hold you stronger than big chains, because a big chain you can see and you can deal with it. If I'm an addict, I know I'm an addict. If I'm sarcastic, that's just my nature. I'm just a sarcastic person. I can't help that. No, you can help it. I see a shake. I see a head shaking. No, you can help it. See, sarcasm can be a chain. But you don't see it because it's a small chain. Jesus came to heal us. See, it talks about four things. He came to heal us. He came to open our eyes. He came to make a way back to God. And He came to restore the freedom that we traded away. Because without God, you are not free. I hate to tell you this. You think you live in a free country? You don't. You think you're free to do this, that, and the other, but you're not. You're a slave to it. You're a slave to it. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, me and Mike were talking about this earlier, it's right there. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. See, because the world, I don't care who you are, where you are, the world holds us captive. Whether we want to or not. We're slaves to the idea of freedom. The problem is, we got, how many millions of people do we have in this country? 100 and something? Whole lot of them. And every single one of them. A whole lot of millions. And every single one of them has their own idea of what freedom is. If you ask them, and most people are really more than willing to let you know that your idea of freedom is not right. And theirs is. That's the problem with self-interpreting freedom. is that for every person, you have a different answer of what it is. And anything you might do impinges on my freedom, and anything I do might impinge on your freedom, God forbid. And if you impinge on my freedom, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to put you on blast to all of my friends. I'm going to put you on blast on social media. That's what's happened. Look around this country and tell me it ain't true. Tell me it's not true. John 8. See, and on the back of your bulletin, there are spots you can write these verses. We're not putting them up there. Write them down. The first one was Galatians 5:1. Read through these. Look through what the Bible says about freedom. Because honestly, if I put everything in here the Bible said about freedom, we'd be here until next September. Because that, this, look at this. See this? This is cover to cover about freeing us. Every page in there is there so you don't have to be in bondage anymore. John 8, verses 34 through 36. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Get that? Everyone that sins. Who sins? Everyone. Guess what you are? You're a slave. That's what it says. We are subjugated to the sin. The sin is in control, not you. You say, well, no, I'm just free. No, you think you're so free that you can get away with anything, and now you're subjugated to that word. Because you have to do anything in your power to keep it. That's not biblical freedom. You don't have to do anything for God's freedom. It's amazing when you really start looking at it. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family because his descendants have no claim to the household. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, not if you go out there and argue your point and get enough people to agree with you and vote it into legislation, you're free. If the Son sets you free indeed. Any other thing other than that is bondage. Romans 8:15. Love this. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Fear is something that will hold you captive. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You are adopted into a family, into God's family. And you have freedom. You don't have to run back. When you got up from the altar, you have a choice now to choose freedom. Literally choose freedom, or choose everything else the world offers in its place. All the big chains and all the little tiny chains, all the things that we never see in our lives, we have the ability to break them because the Spirit lives inside of you and says, that's a chain. That's a chain. That's a chain. Anytime you say you can't, because God says you can. See, we could go on, like I said, I could go on and on and on about what Jesus and what the writers of the Bible had to say about freedom. But what is, if what we were told was all of this other stuff, what is freedom? How do you get it? What does it look like? If it's not my right to own a gun, if it's not my right to, freedom isn't my right to dress up like a woman and run around here. That would be tough. I've done that. Just so you know, I've done that. But as a Halloween costume, not as a lifestyle choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. True freedom gives you two choices. Obey God, follow the world. That's it. If you obey God, there's freedom. True freedom. If you don't, you're just falling into another form of bondage. Call it whatever you want, but it's bondage. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive liberty. Jesus frees us from the bonds that sin has, and He adopts us into His family. Freedom is not something that is accessible in any other person, place, or thing outside of God. It is not accessible. Sin has perverted everything we do in this world, including our desire for freedom. 1 Corinthians 2:14. says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Freedom is a spiritual thing. It is given by God. So if you're not in God, you have no idea what it is. It's like all this other stuff that we do. Understanding freedom is impossible without knowing God. Understanding freedom is impossible without knowing God. When the Holy Spirit moves into the heart of a man or a woman, then and only then is true freedom attainable. All this other stuff is bondage. That's why we come forward. That's why we ask God to forgive us of all. That's why you have to be a new creation. He doesn't just kind of tell you, that's good, go on. He has to make you totally new. Because all these other ideas we have of what stuff is wrong and twisted and demented. And it's the Spirit that starts speaking into our lives and guiding us into real freedom, into true freedom. When the connection to God was broken, our search for freedom became obsessive and unattainable. What's that mean? Okay, let's go to one of the first stories in the Bible after that. Cain and Abel, right? Two brothers. God says, do this. I want you to offer me an offering. And so, Cain, being the freedom-loving person he is, decided to give God an offering, but do it his way, because he was free to do that. He could make that choice. Abel said, I'm going to listen to you, God. I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to do it your way. And see, God had blessed him. Cain was mad because God didn't accept his freedom. His freedom to choose to make an offering the way he wanted to make an offering. And who did he get mad at? Abel. Poor Abel got a rock in the head. But who was God pleased with? Abel. Not Cain. See, freedom isn't being able to do what you want. What would have happened? How different would it have been if Cain would have chosen God instead of self in that moment? I mean, how different would it have been if Adam and Eve had chosen God instead of self? We'd still be in a fallen world because somewhere along the line, someone's going to jack it up. If it had got all the way till now, I'd have messed it up for you. So, out of jealousy, he killed the one that was living in freedom. He killed him. Throughout history, we've searched for freedom. We've expanded the meaning of freedom so far that now, this is what kills me with our country, some of the most perverse things in this world are done under the tag of freedom. You can't tell me what to do. I have the right. Because we've taken it so far out of context that in freedom we include baby murder. See, in the Bible, we get all over the people in the Bible that used to take and heat up a statue of Molech, a metal statue, and then lay their babies down in the arms of it. See, here's the thing. They did it after they were born. We do it before. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. Anything else is a lie. Freedom is twisted. See, you are free today to understand. I'm going to give you some things you are free for, okay? You're free to understand who God says you are. You are free to understand the Bible tells you who you are. We are free to love God the way He requires it. We are free to love God with everything inside of us. We are free to love those people that we come in contact, get this, without any motives other than the simple fact they were created in the same image of God that you were. We're free to love our enemies. Not just our enemies, but the enemies of God. See, because they are different, people always want to say, well, God hates them, so I hate them. No, a lot of the time, this is you hating. There are people that are God's enemies, but God is not their enemy. God still loves them, and you're free to love them as much as God loves us and as much as God loves them. We're free to understand God's Word, to pick this up, understand it, and we're free to apply it to every situation that life offers us. Why do I want to go to you for an answer? Why? I mean, I love you. I'll go to you for advice. But if your answer doesn't equal this answer, I don't want it. Because I'm free to study this. Now, you can help me, you can advise me, you can talk to me. But we are free to search it out ourselves now. We're free to apply it to every situation, both good and bad. We always want to apply it to the good. But we always want to blame when it comes to the bad, when God's Word never changed. We're free to stand up and face every act of oppression against us, every aggression, every hate, every persecution, any other negative influence that comes into our lives, because we see it for what it really is. You don't hate me, the devil hates me. And so you're living, if without God, you're living that same twisted life I was. And I'm free to see that now. It isn't you. It's the devil who has an influence over you, has an influence over our country, has an influence over the leaders, has an influence on everybody that is not under God. And when I understand that, I don't have to hate you anymore. I don't have to blame you for all of my problems. It's not your fault. When we were kids, we were subjugated to our parents. And so we can say, yeah, my parents are responsible for a lot of this. In fact, they're responsible even when you're an adult, because some of the stuff you have, it takes a long time if you ever get it all dealt with. But you are free to make a choice. Once you are no longer under that subjugation, you are free to make a choice. And that's what the Bible gives us. We are free to be men, women, fathers, mothers, children, grandparents, friends, neighbors, co-workers, employees, employers, and all the other different hats that we wear. We're free to be that with a confident knowledge that no matter what happens today, I am loved unconditionally and I am loved eternally. That's a game changer. I'm breaking out in goosebumps right now. That's a game changer, people. That's freedom. I don't have to be upset at all this other stuff that the world flips out and loses their mind about. I don't have to be, because God's got it. Here's the thing. God's Word says, Galatians 5:13, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You want to know what freedom is? Freedom is not using your freedom for your benefit. Wait a minute. What? What do you mean? I don't get the benefit from it. Oh, you'll benefit from it if you love and serve one another. If we love and serve one another, if I love and serve you, your needs are met. And if you love and serve them, their needs are met. And if they love and serve me, my needs are met. Guess who all got their needs met? If I hate on you and talk behind your back, and you hate on them and talk about their behind their back, and they hate on me and talk behind my back, guess who gets their needs met? No one. We're just all mad. See, it's amazingly simple, but it's amazingly hard. Because we don't want to let that in our heart. We'd rather be mad. We'd rather be mad. We'd rather hold on to what our belief is rather than look at what God says. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil." There it is again. "But living as servants to God." There it is again, serving. Loving and serving others, servants of God. Never thought that you could be free being a servant, did you? It's the most freeing thing you'll ever do is to serve someone else. To take your eyes off of yourself and serve someone else. Romans 6:22, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end eternal life. Freedom is something you walk in. It's something God gives you. And as you walk into it, it grows you. And guess what? As you grow, you become more free because you start recognizing all of the smaller chains that hold us. And as you recognize them and deal with them, you grow deeper in God. And the best part of that, at the end of all this stuff that we call here, is eternal life. Eternal life. What's better than that? I don't know. Romans 8:2, For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is anything outside of God. Anything outside of God. That's why freedom cannot be interpreted through the world. Because all it does is lead to sin and death. Look at all the people running around right now yelling out freedom. And what would they... If you put them all inside a big stadium, it'd be like... be like the worst battle royale you've ever seen in your life. It'd be like some of those videos of these other countries where the Congresses just attack each other and start throwing chairs at each other. That's what it would be. Because it's not real freedom. 1 Corinthians 9:19, For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. See, you know what freedom does? Freedom also gives you the chance to mess up. It has to. Because without it, you'd be a robot for God. So it gives you that choice, but God gives you the opportunity to choose correctly. Because now you know your options. Before, I didn't know my options. My option for the morning is, am I going to start my morning off with weed or am I going to start my morning off with meth? That was my option. But that wasn't freedom. I was free to do it. But it was not freedom. You may be free to do something, but it is not freedom. I serve you because I want to see you free. I serve you because I want you to have that same opportunity that I had 30-something years ago. You couldn't have told me I wasn't free before I got saved. What do you mean? You know what? I'm more free than you'll ever be because you're stuck to a desk 9 hours a day. You're a servant to your money and to your family. And you know what? There's nothing that held me back. I did anything I wanted and everything I wanted. And if you got in the way, you paid that price. But that wasn't freedom. That was nowhere near freedom. Galatians 4:9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Once you've tasted what God's freedom truly is, how in the world could you go back? It's so much, you know what? It's so much harder. Because I don't just get to stand here and tell you what I want, what I think is freedom. Now I am accountable to God for freedom. I'm accountable to Him. Freedom of the world, get this, this isn't me. If you want to get mad, this is God. Take it up with Him. Freedom is a weak and worthless elementary principle of the world when applied to anything outside of God. That's it. True freedom comes through the resurrection and Christ's return. That's where we're grounded in. Christ's resurrection, Him defeating the grave, is what allowed us to jump from the law to grace, which is freedom. That's freedom. It'll be fulfilled at His second coming. When we finally get to taste that freedom in all of its glory. Because right now it's like a drop in the ocean right now. But now what is imperfect now will be perfected then. Paul explains in Romans 8:21 that the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage. Get it? The bondage, opposite of freedom. From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There is coming a day when you are going to be so immersed in freedom that you're going to lose your mind. You're going to look back at all this stuff we call freedom, and it's just going to make you cry for all the missed opportunities we had. There's a band that, and I've got to find that page now. There's a band that that I like, and they're going to be at the festival. The band's called Divided Me, and they are a metal screamer band, but now they've added this girl who's like an opera singer too. So they have this really amazing voice, and then this guy just starts yelling over the top of her. It's great. It's great. Good music. But they have a song, and it's called Broken. And it talks about this very issue of freedom. And I love one of the lines in it says, "We won't bow down to your freedom, to your gods, even for a season." See, they got it. Freedom, the way the world teaches it, is a little god. We will kill for it. We will fight for it. We will argue over it. We'll talk about you for it. When really all we have to do is surrender to God for it. And then all that other stuff gets to fall away. Close your eyes right where you're sitting. Close your eyes for a second. See, Jesus was reading to them a passage they would be very familiar with in Isaiah, because it was a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the one that Israel looked for every single second of every single day to return and deliver them. They would have known what he was talking about. When he sat down and he says that today this is fulfilled in your eyes, your ears, they understood him. They knew what he was saying. He was telling them that the person you just heard read this is the one that you've been looking for. He's the one you've been waiting for. He says, "I am the one that this talks about." Remember, he's talking to them about freedom. They think he's talking to them about freedom from Roman oppression, freedom from all this other stuff. But he came to bring a new law, a new rule that says you can have freedom, but it is inside of me. Outside of me, there is only law. And law never gives freedom. Law can never give. Law can only take away. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's not some magical, mystical, spiritual thing. It's an acknowledgement of your place. It's an acknowledgement of God. God, you are Creator. You are everything my heart desires is locked up in you. And I'm sick and tired of trying to do this on my own. God doesn't see income. God doesn't see any other religion you've been a part of. God doesn't see race. God doesn't see your position at work. God sees you. And he says, "I'm offering you freedom today." And see, freedom is paid for. Just like we say in our country, there are people who have paid for our right to do the things we want to here. Well, see, there had to be a price paid for your freedom, and that was Jesus Christ. God himself came to this earth in human form and lived that life, talked all these things that the Bible says, taught us how to live a new way, and then at the end of it, he gave his life as a sacrifice, and he allowed them to hang him on a cross where he died a horrible death, all so that I could stand here now and tell you he paid the price for your freedom. Freedom was given. When this earth was created, we threw it away and God gave it back. God gave it back. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are a slave of this world. That's okay. We were all there. Every single one of us who have accepted Jesus You know what? We're still slaves and servants of different things, and we work on that daily. But we were there without Christ. And Christ says you can be free. You can understand everything that my word says if you'll just accept me. Church, believers, what are the chains that are holding you back that you need to break today? What are the chains? Because see, we all have them. We don't want to acknowledge them because then somebody might know I'm not perfect. Well, guess what? We all know you're not perfect. You all know I'm not perfect. I deal with stuff all the time. Part of the reason I love Chains Unchained Festival is that we get to talk to people about breaking chains and finding freedom and liberty and sight and healing all inside the person of Jesus Christ. Today's that day that you need to search yourself. I don't care. Come to the altars and ask God to take it away and then leave the chain here. Don't pick it up and carry it back out with you. Where you're sitting, you could do it there. Grab somebody and come forward. If you don't know who Jesus is, come and talk to me. Come and talk to Mike. Come and talk to Pastor. Talk to a person sitting next to you and say, you know, I want that. I don't really understand it, but I want it. Savannah? There she is. She's over there. Savannah, come on up. You guys can stand. I'm going to pray. Savannah's going to play. And it's up to you. It's up to you what you're going to do with freedom today. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word.